Good evening and welcome to Midnight Harmony. It is always a blessing to have you join us and listen. My prayer is that God speaks to you tonight and encourages you as you absorb His Word into your life. I'm your host, E.W. Helmick. It's my privilege to be with you this evening. I hope you've listened to some of our other programs. If there is ever anything you would like us to include on our program, or someone you think would be a good interview with a personal story of courage, joy, or overcoming, please let me know and we'll try and include them in a future program. You can read more about Midnight Harmony and our partner ministry, Help World Tour, at www.helpwt.com. Everything we do here on this program and in ministry throughout the world is made possible by your donations and support. If you would like to support our ministry, you'll find a donation link on our website. Again, that's www.helpwt.com. We would love to connect with you through your subscription to this program or by simply following us on Facebook. Tonight, I would like to tell you a story, a fantastic story of God's fury and grace, a story of curse and redemption, a story of loss and hope. Take just a moment and get comfortable in your chair or on your bed, wherever you are this evening. And in just a moment, I'll begin with our story, The Curse of Jericho. The silence. It was deafening and had befallen the entire city. One's own heartbeat was the only audible sound as it pounded in the ears of the men, women, and children of Jericho. 6 days had the people of Jericho listened as the Israelites marched outside the walls and city gate. And for 6 days had fear struck at the heart of the city's occupants. But now, something was different. The silence held a terrifying exigency, while at the same time, a welcome intermission from the sounds of feet marching around and around, encompassing every aspect of life, every second of thought. The air was filled with fear so heavy it could be sliced like a crusty loaf of bread. What would become of my little ones, thought the women. What will become of our lives? Questioned the men. Why don't I feel safe? Cried the children. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. The Gibeonim had shown great strength and great power, and had become a dangerous warrior race. Yet now, huddled together inside the walls of Jericho, mighty men of valor, no more. The giant Gibeonim questioned their allegiance to the fallen angels, the watchers, who had deceived them since birth. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Who was this Joshua? Who were these foreign invaders now standing silent outside the city walls? Who gave them the authority, courage, and power to besiege our beloved Jericho? The prayers offered inside the walls of Jericho may have been seasoned with humility. They may have been stirred by fear. They were undoubtedly mumbled throughout each house, but they were prayers offered to false gods, who were equally silent, equally shunned by a greater force that now circumferenced the cold stone walls. The sudden and abrupt sound of a single trumpet caused every breath to stop inside the walls of Jericho. Almost a melody. The tune lingered on the edge of dawn. It was somehow pleasant, soothing, and at the same time mysterious. Then suddenly, the melody was broken with an army of trumpets and victorious shouts. All courage, all bravery, all the people inside the walls of Jericho panicked. They screamed as the walls crumbled about them, crushing them into the dust, killing the Gibeonim, the women, and the children. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. They burned everything around the city of Jericho, and they tore down structures that escaped the fire. Only a harlot and her family would be spared the siege. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And on that day a tithe was given to the Lord of great increase. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. 1,000 years passed, and Jesus entered into Jericho, Luke 19 tells us. He was surrounded by a throng of people. He was a stranger to all who had not seen his power displayed, and his grace and goodness felt. Yet one man supplies us with a noble example of heeding the Lord's call on our life. He was a rich man, chief among the publicans. But he was short and could not see through the crowd, the oncoming man they called Jesus. So he climbed a tree and watched from above the crowd as Jesus drew closer. It was only a moment before this Jesus looked up into the tree and spoke directly to this man, this short, rich man named Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Scripture tells us that Zacchaeus made haste, came down, and received Christ joyfully. There is much we can learn from the story of Jericho and also Zacchaeus, but I believe there was one very obvious thing we must be willing to do that is outlined in these stories. We must be willing to put ourselves in a place of serving others as Christ did unto the people of Jericho. After the destruction of Jericho, Joshua placed a curse on anyone who might rebuild the city. Jericho remained unoccupied until the time of the prophets Elijah and Elisha, about 500 years later. Then Joshua's word was fulfilled when Hiel of Bethel rebuilt the city, and it cost him the lives of two of his sons. If the city was destroyed by God and cursed by Joshua, then why would Jesus pass through Jericho, a cursed city? It's very simple, really. In honoring Jericho with his presence, he took away the curse and introduced something else, something new, the gospel. As Jesus walked through Jericho, Scripture tells us the people pressed in. These people were a class of people who had come to see Jesus, most likely an upper class of people and an unsaved people to be certain. These were lost souls whom Jesus had come to save. People are not saved unless the gospel is preached. Are you ready to receive Christ joyfully as did Zacchaeus? Are you ready to receive people as did Christ? The people of the past that have wronged you, the people that have taken advantage of your goodwill, the dirty, the ugly, the meth addicts, the drunks, and the sinful. Are you ready to unlock the doors of your home or church and leave them open so the sick and the hurting and lonely can come in any hour, night or day, and seek refuge so that you can pray with them, feed them, and heal them? Are you willing to come together and prepare soups and bread for those in need, a meal that you labor over for the benefit of those who really need it? Everyone is capable of serving in some way, in some capacity, for the benefit of a neighbor. Christ wants a response from us as believers, as much as he wanted Zacchaeus' response as a sinner. Christ wants us to make haste, come down, step forward, serve others, and do it joyfully. My question to you tonight is, what do you want for the ultimate glory of God? Consider this. Is it best for you to attend church for an hour each Sunday, leave your offering, take communion, and proclaim Christ as your Savior? Or is it best for you to give all you can to the service of others, whereby Christ can be proclaimed? Christ set in motion an example of calling the lost. What is your response going to be? Do you recall the story of Moses I told in a past podcast? The homeless man I met in Auckland, New Zealand. I fed him some soup and then watched as he wandered away alone into the cold streets. My heart was so moved, I wrote a message of hope for Moses. I spent the next several hours searching for him, and only by a miracle did I find him sitting alone on a bench in his long, worn trench coat. I handed him the note. I told him how much Jesus loved him. I told him I wished there was more I could do. I gave him some money. Well, in fact, I gave him everything I had in my pocket, which at the time was all the money I had in the world. It wasn't much. I prayed for him, and I left him alone on the streets of Auckland. A day doesn't go by that I don't think of Moses. Could I have done more? Could I somehow have saved him from his condition? I don't know, but I do know I cared for him. I prayed for him. I earnestly prayed for him and gave him the hope of Jesus Christ on that cold night in Auckland. The people of Jericho were sinful, proud people. Their history was laced with sin and love for other gods. On the day Jericho fell, there was salvation and safety for a harlot and her family because she believed in the God of the Israelites. But everyone else would die, and the city would be cursed. But God, the loving and merciful God He is, sent His Son and had Him stroll right through Jericho, the cursed city, so He could bring the gospel, save the lost, and have a brief encounter with a wee little man named Zacchaeus. So I ask you again, what is your response going to be? What kind of place is your home or your church or your heart? Is it a safe place? Are you righteous? Not self-righteous, but holy? Are the people in your church holy? Is your church or your heart a forgiving place? If I've offended you in some way, can I return there and find forgiveness? Is it a place of peace and joy? Does your home or your church or your heart reflect heaven, or even Christ for that matter? Charles Spurgeon wrote this: "If one might choose a heaven upon earth, it would be to rest forever in quiet meditation upon the beauties of His person, the perfection of His character, the power of His blood, the prevalence of His plea, the glory of His resurrection, the majesty of His second advent. Everything about Christ is delightful. There is not a truth He ever teaches, but it is fragrant with choice perfume. There is not a word He utters, but smells of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces from which He came." Do you know that some people don't know what light is because they have always lived in darkness? They have always lived in the shadow of their sin, shame, guilt, or addiction. Some people live like dogs, satisfied with eating bones because they have never tasted the sweetness of Jesus, how He fills every part of you with savory and sweet hope. Some people don't know joy. They've never experienced real joy because life has been a burden and has caused their necks to be crooked and stare only at the ground, one step after another, day after day. If you know these things, light, sweetness, and joy, then you must share them with the world. We cannot proclaim we know the Master if we do not joyfully wish that others may know Him too. I cannot believe you know Jesus Christ if you do not wish to make Him known, says Spurgeon, so adequately flawless. This is the task set before us. This is the burden you must carry by your attendance week after week if you attend the church where I am a pastor. This is our task together as Christians, and we must find success in it. Whether it be prayer meetings or youth groups, soup kitchens or coffee houses, senior centers, movie nights or game nights, we all must make haste, come down from our high and proud perch and receive Christ's call to serve others with joy. Luke 19:7 says, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." This word guest is kataluo. It means demolish, to overthrow. Christ entered Zacchaeus' house and overthrew the enemy, tossed him out, and demolished every bit of darkness in his home to reveal truth and life. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This word seek is zeteo, to worship God. Telling others about Christ is an act of worship. Christ came to seek, or worship God, and deliver, heal, protect, and preserve, that word save, that which was lost. And this word lost means die and destroyed. Christ came to save those who would ultimately face destruction and death. My friends, we must put something in motion, and we must do it with haste and joy. Not just a church service, not just a free meal every so often, not a Sunday school class or prayer meeting, but something that puts you and I in a place of serving others for the sake of the gospel, time and time again. A place that proclaims Christ's love and saves the dying and those that will soon be destroyed upon Christ's return, should they not know Him. I believe Christ's return is just around the corner, maybe only days away. If that were the case, then your response would need to be a hasty one if you don't know Him as your personal Savior. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you have never confessed Christ Jesus with your mouth, do that now, tonight, in the quietness of your room, your car, your living room. If you're listening with friends, then all of you, ask Jesus into your hearts right now. Believe on His name so that thou shalt be saved. Have the assurance that Christ didn't carelessly wander through your life tonight, but instead chose to be in your presence as He was in the home of Zacchaeus, as He was as He wandered the streets of a cursed city of Jericho. Your life may seem of little importance or little value, but I assure you, Christ wants to honor you with His presence tonight and take away the curse of sin, the curse of the devil, fear, doubt, loneliness, and hopelessness, and replace it with something perfect, His love. There is no curse, no sin, nothing Christ's love cannot overcome. The walls of this world are crumbling. The enemy is rushing in. Turn to Jesus and let Him save you. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You are dear to my heart. I hope if there is anything I can do to serve you or give you hope, you would take the time to email me so I can respond accordingly. Be fearless as you turn your heart towards a merciful God. The silence that befell Jericho before it was razed to the ground was nothing more than fear. You can let the silence surround you tonight with the assurance that Christ is in the midst of that silence with you, waiting to hear your voice, your prayer, your hasty, joyful acceptance of His invitation. Come down, for tonight I must abide in your house. Godspeed and a blessed good night.